This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Simon, are you there?
I am. Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon. Hey, for an opera singer, how wonderful and how important is it to do a Wagner's Ring Cycle?
Oh, look, it's right. Well, for me, it is right up there. It's the pinnacle. It's every company, I think, or the world over, wants to have a Ring Cycle in their repertoire, and I think. For the purposes of Melbourne Opera, this is a major achievement.
I know, because a lot of it's only staged every so often in certain parts of the world, and a lot of people travel the world to see these productions. So, how did Melbourne Opera organise this?
Well, look, I mean, I think this is a little bit of, you have to give credit to the. Managing director, artistic director, if you like, Greg Hocking, for putting this or getting this on the road. And I think a lot of the reasoning that we're able to get this done is that probably the use of local talent. Let's just get that straight out there. I think that obviously will keep costs down. And I think Melbourne particularly is blessed to have such amazing talent. And that's nothing against the rest of Australia. Of course, we have some major talent in Australia. But Melbourne specifically, and to be able to put on a Ring Cycle with, for the most part, Melbourne-based or Victorian-based singers to perform these amazing roles. I mean, some of these are, absolute huge, and they're in part of the repertoire right up there as some of the biggest roles that people will ever sing. I mean, my role, for example, I'm Albury, and I guess for what it's worth, I guess I'm the bad boy.
Hold on, people, even your mother's told me that she thinks you're a very naughty boy.
See, we do a lot of research for our show, Simon, don't we?
Oh, yeah, we rang your mother. No, of course we didn't ring your mother. And I'm taking the piss here. But
probably would say that.
Love
you dearly, Mum.
Love you dearly. So, Simon, before we talk a little bit more about and how amazing this is, as you've been saying, and the fact is that it's the first four operas because. It's a whole weekend or a whole week normally that it's staged. Yep. But what Melbourne Opera is doing, it's from it's the 3rd of February, which is this next week. But it's and then it doesn't finish until 2023.
Yes. So what they're aiming to do, and this is obviously with the world that we're living in at the moment, which has made things a little bit challenging, let's say, for the arts community. Melbourne Opera have decided, and being a very independent company, and what that means for Melbourne Opera is they don't get any government funding whatsoever, be it state or federal level. So they have to space these things out to keep their costs. Or keep their budgets balanced. So they're planning to do. I mean, now I'll of course stand corrected, but my understanding is that they will do each of the operas. So this year, obviously coming up, Rheingold in 2021, Walküre in 2022, and I think Siegfried. My understanding is that Siegfried and Goethe Demerung, are they going to do them both in 2023, but obviously with quite a few months in between. And then I think the plan is 2023, 2024 is then to do a complete cycle.
This is
my understanding. As I said, don't.
But then again, we can't believe what you say.
We're not doing this. No. This is definitely my understanding.
Right.
This
okay.
is how they're going to do it. That also is a balancing act in itself because of the availability of artists at certain times. Although they're pretty confident. But they'll be able to get the people that they want. I've obviously been asked to do Albrecht for the cycle. I mean, Alberich appears obviously in Das Rheingold, the first one, but he gets a break in Die Walküre, so it's probably good. And then he comes back briefly in both Siegfried and Goethe Dämmerung.
Right.
Yeah, and he's, I mean, he's, look, he's a fascinating character. Obviously being one of the bad guys, and I, you know, as a baritone or sort of a heavier baritone, I'm kind of used to playing a lot of bad boys. So, bit of typecasting, I don't know. A lot of friends who are listening to this going, oh, yeah, I can see. But I do, I have played some pretty bad guys. I mean, the Count and the Marriage of Figaro is he's not nice. Tarquinius and the Rape of Lucretia, well, he's the rapist, so he's about as bad as it gets.
Yeah.
So
you get lots of booze when you're on stage.
Oh, you can too. I mean, in the end, I'll say sometimes the crowd might even boo. I mean, all in fun.
Of course.
But as the Count, there a couple of times, I think there was a moment where, particular production I did where I had to slap the Countess, and you should have heard the intake of breath from the whole audience. But that being said.
Yeah.
It means that the audience is engaged. You must be doing something right. But Alberich, he's a different kettle of fish because, I mean, he's bad in that he's had a pretty sort of awful start in life coming from the underworld, or Nibelheim, as it's known in the Ring cycle. It's the sort of underworld where the dwarves live, and they're basically, they're known as being expert craftsmen or smiths, blacksmiths, if you like. They're not much goes right for them. They basically live a life of darkness. So Alberich is probably the one character who sort of he's the first one, I guess, to venture out into the real world and sort of see a different side of the world.
Yeah.
And comes out, and then, lo and behold, he comes across the Rhine maidens who initially he's thinking, all right, he's gonna at least have sex with one of them, but in the end he renounces love and steals the gold.
What an extraordinary opera. This is, how old is it? Do you know exactly how old, roughly?
Interestingly, Rheingold itself was the score was first completed in 1854. So we're talking, this is, approaching 1200, well, not quite 1200 years.
Yeah.
And it premiered as a single opera, not in the cycle.
Oh, okay.
In 1869, I think in Munich, it was first performed. But then when they did the cycle, they did the first cycle of Bayreuth in Germany, of course, for those who aren't Wagner connoisseurs. Bayreuth is this big Wagner festival that's held every year in southern Germany. And it was first performed in a cycle in 1876.
Right.
So it's been around, it's been around in the repertoire for quite some time.
Simon, as an opera singer, have you played this, have you performed in the Ring Cycle before?
I have, only as a chorister, I believe.
Right,
when Opera Australia did their first Ring Cycle, the first of the Neil Armfield one. Which was first done in 2013.
Yep.
And I was basically at the last minute, because I'd come back from living and working overseas, and I'd sort of come back and did an audition. And it was quite easy. The guys at OA just said, look, obviously right now, we'll be thinking of you for, for principal work, which has happened. But right now, we need guys to sing in this chorus of Goethe Dämmerung, I jumped at the chance. Having watched a couple of Ring Cycles, I thought, well, this is at least the first chance to be involved.
Oh, absolutely,
in one.
Yeah.
So I did that.
And was that at the Adelaide Festival of Arts?
No, this one was in Melbourne. This was at the Hamer Hall. They did that cycle in 2013 and then revised it again in 2016.
Right.
OA, Opera Australia, have done it twice down in Melbourne.
Okay.
And that was the Neil Armfield production.
Yeah. How important, as you said, Melbourne Opera, there's no government funding and all that. Yeah, so this is a bit of a unique opera company, isn't it?
Oh, very much so. I mean, what I like about Melbourne Opera, and I've done a few productions over the years with them, they give opportunities to Australian singers to perform some pretty big, juicy roles who are working into getting a career started. And sometimes some of the bigger companies may not take a chance on them, on younger singers or singers giving them certain roles. But Melbourne Opera is one of those unique companies that will do that, particularly for Australia, but more Melbourne-based singers. So this is why, for me, this chance to do a role like Alberich in Das Rheingold is because I've never. This will be my first featuring in a Wagner opera as a principal artist.
Yeah, and that's the reason you are, because Melbourne Opera is giving, as you said, our local people the opportunity to be in these extraordinary roles. Yeah.
Oh, look, absolutely. I mean, and they've managed to assemble an amazing cast together. And I just, when I was asked about it, because I think Melbourne Opera had actually planned to do this last year during August. And Greg Hocking had approached me to sing Alberich. But obviously last year, before COVID hit us all, I was actually already engaged, was supposed to be already engaged to sing with Opera Australia in Carmen on their regional tour, singing Escamillo, the Toreador. But then obviously COVID flipped the script, so to speak, and we all were suddenly didn't have work.
Yeah.
So initially, obviously, while I was, like most of my colleagues, we were pretty devastated that things had sort of gone south because of the pandemic, but understood, obviously, that we couldn't perform for health reasons.
Yeah.
But then, and when things were looking as if they were going to open up this year, Greg approached me again and said, look, okay, we've rescheduled, we're going to do it in February, are you free? And I said, well, as it so happens, yes, I am. So it's, in a way, the pandemic, was a bit devastating initially. It suddenly turned into a bit of a blessing in disguise, because I wasn't initially going to be able to do Alberich. So it's actually been a good thing for me to suddenly I am available.
Yeah, well, how fantastic.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, so Wednesday the 3rd are the first four operas, and it's at the Regent Theatre. How specky is that? And I believe it's pretty close to being sold out too, Simon.
It's very close.
Yeah.
So if you're still thinking about coming, get along and book through Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
Ticketmaster, because it is selling very quickly.
Yeah, and people, it's an experience you've got to see, apart from Simon being in it. You're like, everyone else is going to be fabulous. But this is something very special, and congratulations, Simon, because you've earned this part, what a treat that a local Melbourne opera company is doing Wagner's Ring Cycle at the Regent Theatre. So it's Wednesday the 3rd, which is just over a week away, and so get on to it. Simon,
that's the
opening night. Simon, lovely to speak to you.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Neil.
Thanks so much, Simon.
All right, see you later.
My pleasure. Okay, see you later.
Bye. We've been talking to Simon Meadows from Melbourne Opera here on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.